question all of us have asked ourselves at one point or another. But for the men in our lives, or for you men out there, do you really know who's got your back? Let's find out. Coming up next, right here on The Parker J. Cole Show. Parker J. Cole Show. I am so glad you are here with me today. There has been a lot going on in the last couple of weeks. I know a couple of people have approached me about my thoughts about certain current events that have occurred in our nation today and across the world. And the only thing I can honestly say is that I go to John 16. And John 16 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that's all I got to say about that, because so many people have given excellent commentary about the events of our world today, and I'm not going to add anything more to the conversation except that I thank the Lord that when we are going through trials and tribulations, that we can rest on Him. He is the only one who could turn hate into love, He can turn war into peace, and He can make us better people. And guess what? That's what I'm standing on today. So that's all I got to say about the current events going on in our nation today, because I really want to get down to who's got your back. And right now, some of us may feel as if we are all alone, in particular when it comes to men. Men oftentimes may feel isolated because they don't know if there is anyone in their corner. We want to talk about that, and I'm going to talk about that with my guest co-host and contributor today, David Smith. He is a recommend from Dr. Mike Spaulding of Soaring Eagle Radio and The Transforming Word. You have heard his ad on the show plenty of times over the year, and I want to thank Dr. Spaulding for. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. When we come back, we'll be talking to David about who's got your back. If you want to call in and weigh in, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist. And we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring His gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to The Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. The question you may be asking is, who's got your back? Is there anyone in your corner, or do you have to rough it out all by yourself? Now, this is a question a lot of men ask themselves, even though I didn't know until I connected with David Smith via Dr. Spalding's interview with him, that men may be asking themselves that question. And as soon as I heard his interview with Dr. Spalding, I of course said, you know what, I have got to have him on my show. So David, I'm going to introduce you to our listeners today, and thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, Parker, thank you so much, especially to talk about such an important topic that really does blend into all the craziness that goes on in our world right now. But I really appreciate being with you.
And I thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with me as well. I say it every show, but I never take it lightly, because no one has to do anything for you. And I think the fact that people help out with the show every single week is practically amazing. So thank you for your help. And on the topic, I think it's a fascinating one. And of course, I'm a storyteller, David, because I write sweet romances. So I'm a storyteller, and I love to tell stories. I connect with stories. And so my first story has to do with my husband, obviously. And I have to use the book, The Five Love Languages, to preface because I'm a babbling brook and my husband's a deep sea.
Yeah.
So what happened? It was so funny, because first met my husband, I really expressed, oh my gosh, he is such a good listener. And my husband was like, it felt so good not to have to talk, you know, because I can just listen to you. And then over time, you really do go, why won't she ever shut up? Because he won't speak to me. And so it became this thing where we're just different people. He doesn't mind for the most part. My husband doesn't mind for the most part, because he's very self-contained. At the same time, though, we were at a function one day. I'm a people person. I'm drawn to people. I love being around people. My husband isn't like that. And he was looking at me one day. He was like, how do you do that? I said, do what? He was like, you talk to people. I said, well, I talk to them. You know, and he's like, but you're, and he had like a sense of jealousy, but not bad jealousy, obviously, but just like that envy, like, how can you be so comfortable around people? I said, well, we're two different people, baby, you know, and that's what it comes down to. And I think in this topic about who's got your back.
I can identify with him. I had a situation where my wife and I moved from Chicago to Indianapolis for a while related to work. And my dear wife had these wonderful goodbyes. We were having a garage sale and neighborhood party and all that, and she just had these promises to stay in contact and hugs and joyful tears and all that. And I had these hey man, see you around, and it was real brief and real quick. And that was both in the neighborhood and in the church, and you know, the whole deal. And I wondered if it was just me, or just your husband, or if it was all guys. And my journey and my discovery, I found out that it was most men, frankly, and that we were buying into a masculinity that really wasn't very productive. It wasn't very helpful. It wasn't consistent at all with what I found in Scripture. The Scripture is just full of wonderful ways of performing and getting along with each other. And I was surprised by that as well. But I buy into what you just shared with me about your husband. That seems to be the norm. At least that's been my experience along the way.
And my husband, he's a quiet man anyway, but he's a very deep thinker. There are people who just think. They rather observe you and then think about it, and then they'll keep their observations to themselves. Whereas, you know, like in that book, The Five Love Languages, you know, he was like a babbling brook. Anything that goes from the eye canal or the ear canal comes out the mouth canal, you know, whatever
you
happens,
go.
You know about it. And then he says, if you can't talk to someone, you call them. If you can't call them, you talk to yourself. This is so very true. You know, like I've got to share this to someone, even my dog, you know. And so, but when it comes to who's got your back, it's more than just, you know, talking. It's about having meaningful relationships, particularly for men. And I'm so glad we're talking to men on this episode of the show. And let's talk about that. So let me tell you what I did, David. When I was reaching out to our supporters about the show, I shared a picture of Lord of the Rings, Frodo and Sam. And Frodo and Sam, I don't know if you've seen the movies or not, but they have a wonderful, very strong bond. They're a brotherly bond between each other. And so in one segment of the movie, Sam, you know, Frodo has the one ring. It's sucking him dry. It's all this evil, blah, blah. And Sam, he can't carry the ring. Only Frodo can because he's the ring bearer. And Sam says to Frodo, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. And he picks up Frodo on his shoulders and carries him up the mountain to get rid of the ring. And it's a very depicting scene about manly,
yeah,
brotherly love. And so
yeah,
I asked the question to our listeners. I have a few comments. I asked the question to our listeners. I said, you know, do men need a brotherly love and affection like that, or is it just better to have alliances? And of course, this is a precursor to your book where men tend to just form alliances. So we did get a couple of comments that I'm going to read and ask you to comment on. So Tony from Kansas City, Missouri says, yes, but not like women do, like men do. And Tony, thank you so much for adding to the conversation. When you hear something like that, David, what are some of your thoughts?
Well, I agree with what was shared with you. The in our culture, girls are encouraged to become women far more than boys are to become men. And the men in that one of the handicaps of developing close relationships is we're taught to buy into the concept to be independent and strong, you know, that I can take on the world all by myself. And, you know, Scripture doesn't share that with us. You know, Scripture tells us we should bear one another's burdens, that we need to be concerned about other people. You look at even like the book of Galatians, and it talks about sharing and being one in Christ, you know, which implies fellowship. But we buy into the Lone Ranger kind of concept. You know, Parker, I like the movie illustration. I'm a sucker for old westerns, and there was a film called High Noon where Gary Cooper, the actor, of course, and the bad guys are coming to town, and rather than unite and bond and seek out people because you have needs, you know, he has to do it all by himself because everybody else just cowers behind saloon doors somewhere, and he has to be the guy. And you know, life's rarely that way, and we're taught in a sense to even be stingy receivers. I think, you know, the Scripture talks about being a giver, but you know, we're also taught to be receivers. If we don't receive from other people, you know, you don't build that relationship. You don't give other people the opportunity to share. We've got to do it together. And I think our culture encourages something different than that.
I like the fact you used High Noon because I haven't seen it in a while, but I am an old movie buff, and I love that movie because he's going around trying to get help, and they are just leaving him like, dude, that is your problem, not mine. So,
well, you know, you look at some of – you look at some of those old films, for example, they call them spaghetti westerns. I'm not quite sure. Maybe it comes out of Italy or something. I'm not quite sure. But they're also called morality plays. And you look at some of the history or some of the storyline that is presented in these, and it's bonding. It's developing friendships. If you're doing life alone, you know, I worked with a guy a number of years ago who was divorced. I'm told he was a handsome, strong guy. And he would say in celebration, he would say, you know, at 4:30 in the afternoon, I don't have to, I can do whatever I want to do. I don't have to report in anybody. I don't have to call anybody. And he was celebrating that, where in many cultures, and I think in scripture, we would be sad for that person because they're not connected, that people aren't reaching out and concerned about their well-being. And, Parker, there's a relatively recent study that came out of I think it was Wheaton College. It was a Christian college anyway. And we found that people, even people within our faith community, are oftentimes bonding with people who are just like them for the most part. It, when you look at things like ethnicity, race, income, even religion, did I mention education? I mean, all the different, you know, neighborhood, all the different kinds of things that we can separate ourselves from others from. You know, when you first meet somebody, well, what do? Well, whatever kind of answer you get, well, I'm a physician, or I'm a plumber, or I'm a carpenter, or whatever, you typecast people. And maybe that's one of the reasons we have the problems that we do in our culture today, is we don't understand each other, but we're also doing life alone. And men don't do life alone. We don't even do, I wonder about your husband and me, you know, how do we do weekends? You know, when our wives go out of town, we do stupid stuff. You know, some guys tell me they smoke or they drink too much or they hang out too much. They stay up too late. They watch, they binge on TV or whatever it is. They just don't do stuff really well. We need that moderating force, the wonderful women that we're blessed with who are in our lives to help us get along. I'd like to think that people need to get a hold of my book, Who's Got Your Back, by David Smith, and I trust that's true. But also true is just observe the women, the wonderful women in your life, and look at Scripture. Scripture is just, you know, it's amazing, Parker, all that Scripture has to say about how to live. You know, it's fascinating that the the life of Jesus. Jesus was, he would learn people's name. He was not afraid to ask for help. He could cry when Lazarus was gone. You know, he would reach out to people. He would be close to them physically. I mean, we're in a pandemic thing now, but he was not afraid to sit real close to people and to learn about them, to pay attention, not just to wait for a break in the conversation so that you can say what you want to say, but what's important in your life. But I like to think, who's it, Ruth and Naomi? Now that those are women, but we often use that some of the lines that they shared with each other in our wedding ceremonies. You know, where mm-hmm. you go, I will go, and all of that. But that was basically really a friendship. And if we want to learn how to do friendship, in addition to reading David's book, all you got to do is look at the way women do friendship. I asked my dear wife, Sue Ann, some time ago before I wrote this book. I said, you know, honey, give me an idea. What's the definition of friendship? And I'm waiting for some cerebral or lengthy scriptural kinds of things or something, you know, paragraph or whatever. But she paused for a moment, Parker, and she just smiled and she said, Lois. And I thought that was the coolest thing, that this was one of the important people in her life, not departmentalized, not where you only go out and play golf with that person or you only work with that person. I have a colleague that I value. His name is Jerry. And I can remember not long ago calling Jerry and I say, hey, Jerry, this is just before the pandemic. And I said, you know, let's get together and have lunch. And he says, sure. What's up? Now, what's the deal? You've got to have an agenda of some sort, you know, mm-hmm. where women, they enjoy being together. They find value in being together, and it's okay to be together. You don't have to have an agenda. And that's, you know, that's one of the many differences between men and women. Women do life and friendship better, and it results in a number of things. I think they have better ministries. They They're more involved in people's lives, whether it's their grandchildren or volunteering at school or helping in a Sunday school class or whatever it might be. And I think, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to some really good pastors and hosts who might say sometimes, but David, if you're trying to develop friendships between men, does that not take away from the family? And I've had the privilege of interviewing literally hundreds of women, and to the person, they tell me, oh, they wish that they didn't have to provide all the emotional support for their man, that they wish they did have some connection. They weren't anxious for them to be out on the golf course two or three times a week for 5 hours, but they did want them to be connected to other guys because they felt that they'd be better people. And they'd be less lonely. They'd be happier. They'd be more engaged with their own children or their own grandchildren. And that's been, you know, in the surveys that I've asked people to fill out. By the way, I've had just a delightful time talking to total strangers about this cool topic one-on-one in different places. It's really kind of fascinating. Friendship is so important. Relationships is so important. If you're going to have any influence in the lives of other people, you've got to be at least an acquaintance. You've got to possibly be a buddy or a partner of some sort, but there's got to be a handful of people in your life, a few people in your life, two or three people in your life who you're really close to, that you're friends with, that if you really have a problem and it's late at night, you can call them and you say, can you help me? And, these are people. When you look at the principles of relationships in Scripture, for example, I don't have my book in front of me, but it's things like respect, listening. You know, we teach in school reading, writing, speaking, but we don't teach listening. And listening mm-hmm. shows such respect and care for other people. These kinds of relationships are reciprocal. It's not just one side giving everything and being able to stand like the Lone Ranger. But it's got to be reciprocal. I've got to have needs too, and that's back to that stingy receiver concept a little bit. When you open up and you share a need, you're becoming vulnerable to some degree. And you've got to have vulnerability to grow in any kind of relationship. You know, when you've got somebody that you're close to, I live in Chicago. We were out today. Well, no. Today was the second day when you could actually meet in a restaurant. And mm-hmm. we went out and we were with some dear friends this morning, my wife and I. And I can't tell you how satisfying that is and what I learned from them and what I was able to share and all that. These are some of the most important things in life, you know. Men spend too much tension, time and attention on things like material things. If you ever see a hearse going down the street, there's rarely a U-Haul being pulled behind, you know, and yet we spend so much time and attention on stuff, and it's really not all that important. And we already mentioned the idea of we're taught to be independent and strong, and that, you know, that's just simply that time urgency. My time's more valuable than your time and all of that. And the idea, I think, that we're taught that it's harmful to show emotions. I've got to be a hard guy, you know, and I'm not going to show you where I'm vulnerable or where I have I'm certainly not going to cry. I'm going to be more like another historic figure, John Wayne, for example. You know, I can stand tall, and I'm not going to show you who I might really be, you know.
It's interesting, David. Let me interrupt you really quickly, David, because we're going to go to a quick break. It's interesting that you mentioned about that vulnerability. And on the other side of the break, I want to ask you a quick question regarding that and then read a couple of comments that we received kind of along those lines that I have you respond to. But that vulnerability, I think, is interesting. I know a friend of mine who's unmarried. He's like in his 40s now, and he's unmarried. And he says, well, I'll never get married. And I'm like, well, why? You know, why? You know, just something to think about, you know, why not? He's like, I don't do drama. And I said, okay, you know, like, what does that have to do with anything? And I realized as I was watching him, I said, you know what, you're not comfortable with being vulnerable. And relationships cause vulnerability. And it's okay to have that. And being vulnerable is something that, because it's something to, it's actually strength to be vulnerable, to let people know who you are on the inside. Not just anybody, obviously, but someone that you're close to. And having that vulnerability, it can be scary that someone can know, oh my gosh, I'm not having a great day, or I'm not the strong person I want to be. So when we get from the back on the other side of the break, I'm going to read a comment that we received, as well as ask you a question about that vulnerability and how that helps men. Well, if that helps men with their own sense of quote-unquote masculinity. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Losing sales due to incorrect algorithm-influenced categorization? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Christian, faith-based books in a variety of subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Become a content contributor and receive early notification of when you can start uploading your content. Go to twotigersllc.com and sign up today. Readio, the app for great Christian books. Follow us on social media at Two Tigers LLC.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. So glad you're here today. We're talking to author David W. Smith. He is the author of the book, Who's Got Your Back? And that subtitle is Making and Keeping Great Friendships Among Men. So men, you may be asking the question, who's got your back? You may think no one has my back because I'm up against a wall and I have to protect myself. Or you may think I don't need anyone to have my back. But is that really the case? One thing that David argues in his book, Who's Got Your Back, is that women, thank you so much, David, we do tend to live life in some sense better because we do utilize friendships that we have. Not saying that every woman has 1,000 girlfriends that she calls to, but she does utilize the impact of friendships and intimacy that comes with those friendships. And so what I want to do is encourage you to pick up your copy of Who's Got Your Back by David Smith. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And if you want to connect with David, simply go to formingconnections.com and you can connect with him there. And David, once again, thank you so much for being with us on the show as we continue to tackle this topic of who's got your back. Before the break, I mentioned about the vulnerability that can come from opening yourself up to someone else as a friend. But one of the comments I received as I was getting ready for the show was this, and this is from Travis in Wichita, Texas. Travis says, Adam in the garden was given Eve. That's the minimum a man needs to not be alone, a woman. I personally am quite happy with the love of my Eve. Yes, I have male friends, but if it was just me and my loving woman and nobody else at all in the whole world except God, of course, I could thrive. And so I don't disagree with him right there at all. But I said, but in the garden, that was a place of perfection and sinlessness. I said, after that, the rift happened, and this is my viewpoint, and changed the nature of the relationship. So it's not to say you shouldn't cleave to your wife, but I think healthy brotherhood is good. To which he responded to this. He said, I don't have any male relationships that can be compared to the relationship I have with my wife. I literally could say goodbye to them all by moving to Mars or something, especially love my sons and my father. And he says, yes, my opinion. And my opinion is while I benefit from male friendship, I could do without just fine. So what's your thoughts about that? You know, how does male friendship, I mean, should your relationship with your wife supersede everything? Can they coexist together? What's going on with that?
Wow, that's a handful, and that's good. That's good stuff, really. Yeah, let me just shotgun a few things here. First of all, I can't disagree in some ways. I think of my wife. I don't usually use the term, but I think of my wife as my best friend, and I'm very privileged to have her in that capacity. But she and many women whom I've had the privilege to interview, they would say that their husband is more fun to be around. He's more contributory. He's giving out to other people when he has relationships. You know, I don't know, maybe it's a year and a half or so ago, my wife's son and I, we started going to a men's Bible study, for example, and we've connected with some guys there. And I think that makes us better people. It may even make me a better father with my son. I just think that when you have that exposure, you know, that makes life better. And maybe the way the good question that's presented or the good position that's presented here, you know, that's before the fall. Maybe things are a little bit different now. I don't know if that's a perfect analogy. But I think if he's blessed with one great friend who happens and he's privileged to have his wife, that's, you know, he's well on the way. He's well at the starting line. But I'm guessing if he had a good conversation with her, she'd probably not dissuade him in any way by reaching out to some other people. Maybe it's I had somebody the other day tell me they were volunteering reading. This was before the pandemic, but they were reading to kids at school, and they developed a friendship with one of the teachers, and it was so satisfying. You know, I just think that when you reach out to people, and it doesn't always have to be an intimate friendship, nobody has, Parker, the time or the emotional energy to befriend everybody that comes into their lives. That's not the goal there. Jesus didn't do that. He related to the crowd very differently than he did to the disciples. And even within the disciples, what was it, Peter, James, and John, I think, and John, where he was closer with. Well, that's really what our lives can be modeled after to some degree. As long as we're close to somebody, as long as we're you know, that vulnerability that you're talking about. I could even just share with you in a sense, somebody brought it out to me, is that David here has written a book, and I find on my own self a little bit vulnerable because I don't talk much about my faith-based life that I live, but I couldn't write this book without being honest and straightforward. And I'm not the greatest perfect example of what it's like to develop friendships. I'm on the journey, so to speak. I'm trying to put it together and trying to learn some stuff from scripture and from other sources and try to do it better so that I can be a better, maybe a better man, have more fun, maybe contribute more positively to the world around me. I do realize, I think I'm smart enough to realize that you don't go after trying to be happy or do something positive like that straight away. What you do is you go and involve yourself positively in the lives of other people, and as a byproduct, you become more enjoyable to yourself and to others around you. I think that's the way. It'd be fun to talk to that gentleman. I'm guessing we'd get along all right, and we'd probably agree on much of where he is, you know?
You know, it's interesting because when I was getting ready for the show and thinking about it in my head, that was one of the first things that came to mind, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. But then when he mentioned that, I was also thinking along the same lines. And I said, well, I think it's good, but no woman can be everything to a man, just like a man can be everything to a woman. I think in the garden, Adam and Eve had a beautiful relationship, and then the rift came. And so when the rift came, that totally destroyed the rhythm of the relationship, if you will. And so sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, I know sometimes you get, like for me, if I get upset with my husband or I just want to just go talk with the girls or hang out, you know, we can go hang out and have that companionship, you know. And I remember my husband even, he started, this is a while ago, he started online gaming, you know, and he was up one time, I was going to be gone for something, and so he stayed for like 4 a.m. playing video games, like really. So anyway, but he said, I hadn't had that much fun in such a long time, and he was just playing with these guys online. I said, okay, whatever, you know, I don't mind. Why would I be playing? That's your recreation. Mine's his books, yours is video games. I would never be upset, you know. So we did get another comment. We had a comment from Robert in Hemet, California. Robert said, you would pick something difficult. Thank you, Robert. He says, in working with drug addicts, men have a hard time realizing that they need other men to help them recover. It's about accountability, companionship, sharing experience and strength. It's about learning to express emotions in a healthy way. It is also about breaking the macho mold that we have been forced into, breaking down the notion of unhealthy self-reliance that perpetuates isolation from others. I quote from the men's book, don't ask for directions, don't show your emotions, don't show weakness, always act like you know what you're doing, even when you don't. I tell men that I toss the men's book out because it causes too much stress. Learn to be the person you are meant to be. I quote chapter and paragraph. I even have more fun telling them I know that we are not supposed to acknowledge the existence of the men's book or we will get kicked out of the club. Who cares? It's time to throw the book out. It doesn't work. Robert, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. David?
Oh, that's so cool. You know, can I share a quick one with you?
You sure can.
Gail King, who's one of my favorite journalists, said, you know, it was a few months ago, no, we had the running of the bulls in Spain, and some people got hurt. And there were some Americans that were there and got hurt. And she said, why on earth is it that it's only men who run with the bulls, these 1,500-pound critters who bang into them and hurt them? And she said, women are too smart for that. And I thought that it was kind of interesting. You know, she's really cool. And the more I thought about that, you know, guys, it's you don't want to beat up on people, but when it comes to statistics, we're not doing real well on whether it's life expectancy, whether it's on fellowship with others, whether it's on you know, that we talk about the drug addiction a moment ago, and you know, whatever it is, suicide. I think one of the maybe I'm off subject here a bit, but I think one of the sins of how we do church today or our fellowship community is that we're largely indistinguishable from the larger culture that we live in. But you know, are people drawn in? Do they sense that fellowship? Do they sense that love of Christ as they fellowship with us? You know, there's something, I don't know what the exact number is, but it's somewhere around 4,000 churches a year are closed in the United States. Well, what on earth is going on? That shouldn't be happening, you know. We're so concerned about people coming in the front door. What about people going out the back door? And, you know, I did a three-week thing just before the pandemic here in Chicago, and the pastor told me I have the hardest time getting guys in my church to fellowship to each other, to do anything at all together. And we talk about that, and it's a struggle. Well, we can't deny the topic, and we've got to work on the topic, because I think this is at the core. You know, even at the top of your show, Parker, you're talking about some of the, without totally naming it, some of the just the sad, just most unfortunate, unjust stuff that goes on daily in our culture and here just this week. But you know, if we would broaden out and we would be more open to people who are different than we are, and we would find out a little bit about them. You know, there's some people we see day after day after day, and we don't know anything about them at all. And, you know, it doesn't take usually any more work to or effort to smile and to say hello and to say, how's it going? And to take somewhat of an interest in that other people. And they don't have to be just like us. They don't have to be the same education, the same religion, the same ethnicity, the same race, and all these other things. And this would be a better place. And we would do better. And as a result of that, indirectly, I think we would have some friendships that would develop. I love your comment about being a storyteller. That's one of the things I've tried to do in Who's Got Your Back. It is to tell stories about just that warm your heart. They're not about me. They're about this wonderful people who have done some cool things in this world, and they just tell their stories, and that encourages people to move along the way and to develop friendships, I hope and trust, you know. That's the goal anyway.
We did get a comment from Mikkel. Mikkel says, alliances, maybe, though I never thought of it like that before. As in my observation that men relate to each other when they have a common goal to work towards, teammates, if you will. Do men simply enjoy each other's company? I'm not sure. Mikkel, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. And he's from Homer, New York. David, go ahead and respond on that.
Well, if I get that, it'd be fun to sit and chat with him. But if I get that question, yes, we enjoy teaming together. Although, I can remember when I was in school, I was taught, David, and I kind of, maybe it came within, I felt that if I'm going to be successful, I've got to do it by myself and all that. Well, you learn that if you're going to accomplish anything, like the vaccine efforts that are going on right now, these are people who are teaming together. I can't imagine anything being more satisfying than trying to come up with something as a team that helps the larger population in some way, whether it's your immediate population or your church or your civic community or the whole world, you know, and all of that. And no, this is very satisfying. And it doesn't have to be anything beyond the buddy level or the teaming level. We accomplish all kinds of things at that. You know, it's playing baseball, it's golf, or it's working, seeing that person at work in the morning, and they hand you a cup of coffee, and you know, whatever, or somebody at church that asks you how your grandkids are doing, or whatever it is. That's so meaningful. But there's another level that somewhere along the way, you know, it's estimated that somewhere in the neighborhood that most of us know hundreds of people, depending if you're introvertish or extrovertish, it could be, maybe it's 200 people or maybe it's 500 people that you've had occasion to recognize their face, you know, who they are. But you, out of all those people, out of all those hundreds of people, who are the two or three that are most meaningful to you, that warm your heart, that have changed your life, that have influenced your family, that have influenced your faith? You know, who are those people? And then what I like to do, because you know the answer, Parker, is all kinds of people. You know, they could be teachers, they could be young, old, all this stuff. But the commonality across these handful of people is pretty similar. It's really wild, and it's consistent with Scripture. You know, you see things like, I don't know if I can recall many of them, but you see, I mentioned listening. These are people who listen. These are people who are self-disclosing. They'll tell you about themselves. You know, these are people who compromise. They don't have to always have their own way. These are people who are empathetic. If you break your arm, they understand, you know, what's going on. Or if you have a sadness in your life, you know, or something's happened, they really buy into it and they understand it. But yet they're also candid. The Scripture talks about the faithful wounds of a friend. These are people who are going to be straightforward with you. And if you're screwing up, they're going to tell you about it. And that's one of the vulnerable things, or accountable things, that some of us don't like, I suppose. But there's also a respect. They have respect for you. They respect your privacy, but yet they respect, they want to be close to you, you know. And they're accepting, you know, they accept us. I mean, that sounds pretty obvious, doesn't it? You know, most people, it's been my experience in the interviewing people, that we form lasting judgments about people in the first 2 or 3 minutes that we meet them. I can't imagine that. And even when you're later confronted with factual evidence that would conflict with that initial assessment, you tend to hang on to that original thing. So you meet somebody and they say, "Well, I'm a doctor or something." Well, you know, you form all kinds of opinions about that person, whether they're true or not. Or I'm a lawyer, or I'm the janitor at the local school or whatever. At any rate, acceptance is certainly part of it. I think if you look at Scripture, there's a concept of covenant in close relationships. You know, when we get married, we form a covenant, we invite our friends and all that. But when you form a friendship, what do? You know, in some cultures, they do the blood brother thing, I suppose, and all of that. But, you know, if you're a friend with somebody, you know, there's usually not a ritual or anything, but you can send them an email or send them a card or, you know, give them a pat on the back or something. There's some kind of covenant. I mean, look at Jonathan and David in Scripture. They exchange stuff, you know, especially Jonathan, because he had more stuff than David had. He had a robe and sword and all this stuff, you know, and all that. And I think there's a in Scripture, you'd find that there's a faithfulness or a loyalty in these relationships. You don't bail when things get going poorly along the way. You hang in there, and you hang in there in little things and try to make the relationship work, you know. And maybe there's some type of social involvement in that relationship, you know. I've got two granddaughters. I've got a friend that always whenever they see them, they give. I mean, it's not worth anything, but they're thinking about them. It's not worth anything materially, but they always give them something, and they always say hi, and they always remember their name. I think that is so cool. And in some friendships, that of this handful out of all these hundreds of people, there's obviously a spiritual focus where you can go and you can count on those people. And if you ask their advice on something, you're going to get a scriptural base related to it. And that's cool. I used to think that those were the only people that you could develop friendships with, but I'm changing my mind a little bit. I think that you can be close to people who respect you, and yet you don't always agree fully on everything along the way. I think that's okay. You know, that's okay. But you know, like C.S. Lewis used to do with some folks, some Christian folks anyway, is we've got that mere Christianity. We've got some of those fundamentals that we agree on, but does it really matter? That all the subtleties of the 300 different denominations or whatever it is that are out there in the world. I mean, can't we get along on where we do overlap, you know? But even with some people, Parker, I think, that folks that I've interviewed, they say, well, I'm friends with some people who don't share the same faith. And, I mean, they may not even be Christians. Well, okay, but you... I think that's possible. I'm thinking that's possible, but I don't think you go to that person for advice that is based on what Jesus might share with us, you know. So, but you know,
it's interesting you say that too. It's interesting you say that because when it comes to friendship, it's a unique relationship, you know, and it's different than a marriage. It's different than a father, like fathership or not fathership, sonship, daughtership. You know, it's different. It's a relationship you can choose, because you always say, my family, I couldn't choose my family, but I can choose my friends. You know, you say that all the time. And there's something to that. And you mentioned about C.S. Lewis, and we did get a comment from Michelle in the UK. And Michelle says, people need friendships. Tolkien, of course, had several very close ones, including one with C.S. Lewis. Lewis, of course, had a close friendship during World War I where his friend died. And so Lewis looked after the friend's mother for the rest of her life. Michelle, thank you for joining in the conversation. And you mentioned that too, David, because when she said that, she said Lewis looked after his friend's mom for the rest of her life, I was thinking about how David and Jonathan, when Jonathan had died, and he says, is there anyone in the house of Jonathan that I can, you know, be kind to, you know, because his friendship extended not just to Jonathan, and in there, like, oh, sucks to be you, go ahead and live your life, kid. No, he wanted to extend that because of the great respect that he had for him. And oftentimes, people want to turn Jonathan and David's friendship into something that it isn't. And it wasn't a homosexual relationship. It was a deep love they had for each other. And I was thinking to myself when I heard this before, I said, so women can love each other very deeply, and there could be nothing romantic involved. Men can't. You know, let's think about that for a second, you know. And, you know, then you start to pull all these Bible things, like these Bible examples, like you mentioned Naomi and Ruth. You said they had a really good friendship. That was her mother-in-law, yes, but they had a good friendship. Right. And then she said, I don't want to leave you. She said, I'm never going to leave you, you know. And what happened? You know, you got David and Jonathan, and you got some of the look at Christ. Christ had 12 disciples, but he also called them his friends. And then he had one where he said the one that he leaned, that Jesus, he leaned on Jesus, you know, John, that he was really close to. So obviously, friendship is a God thing too. What would you say to
that?
It
is. And, you know, it's not what it's not always working for you, though. Scripture is pretty forthright. You know, you look at Job and his three friends, so-called friends. What a joke that was. And I think it was, let me think, Mark and Paul, who were going to go on a missionary journey together, but they didn't agree on stuff. And before you know it, they didn't go. You know,
Barnabas.
And I think there was another illustration somewhere that it doesn't always work, and maybe it doesn't always have to work. But you know, your illustration of a father is interesting, because as close as that can be, I can remember. What do you think of this, Parker? I can remember years ago, I had a pastor who was the most wonderful guy in the world, but he had no needs at all related to me. But he was very helpful to me, and I value that memory to this day. But you know, to really have that closeness, it's got to be more of a give and take, and there's got to be a vulnerability and an openness going both ways. And I'm not saying anything critical about that dear man, but he was older and he was more accomplished and all of that stuff. And you know, I value that, but it's not quite the same is when you have that give and take back and forth, you know. Do you agree with that? I wonder if you what you
I
think
agree because you know, people have to know that you can make mistakes sometimes. People have to know you can be unsure. People have to know that you're flawed. And I think a lot of times when we don't admit our own vulnerabilities, or that we say, "Oh my gosh, I made a mistake." I mean, what happens when we grow up as children and our parents are God, if you will, you know, and then they do something like, "Oh my gosh, that was so wrong," you know, or that was whatever, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, I remember for myself, I was a kid, and I was like, "Wow, how does she do that with five kids?" You know what I'm saying? You kind of sit there like, "I don't have any right now, and I couldn't do that." So you kind of go, "Okay, they're people," you know, and having that vulnerability. I almost think, depending on who you are, sharing vulnerabilities make. Jesus asked the disciples to what? Pray for him. He said that's when they fell asleep. He was feeling pretty bad. Like, this stuff is about to happen. You can't stay awake with me for an hour. You know, he got with him a little bit, you know. And so
that's
I like the fact that we can go to the Bible and see this. I want to read a couple more comments we received. We're getting close to the end of our show, but I do want to read a couple more comments. For those of you listening in, we are talking to David Smith. He is the author of the book, Who's Got Your Back? It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and get your copy today. Also, if you want to connect with him, you can connect with him on his website, formingconnections.com. Again, formingconnections.com. We're going to take a quick short break. When we come back, we're going to read our comments and have some of our final thoughts with David. And guess what? You still have an opportunity to call in by calling in at 646-668-8485. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience, of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Sofa Talk podcast will consider Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals, which deal with all of the things that we are fearful and anxious of, like job, family, and our country. Plus, we will take your prayer requests. Join us on upcoming episodes Monday through Friday for Sofa Talk at anchor.fm/russell-sherard. That's anchor.fm/russell-sherard.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Rightstream Radio every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to the Parker J. Cole Show on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very, very glad you are here with us today. Who's got your back? Is that a question that you ask yourself? For men especially, you may be wondering, does anyone have your back? Well, I'm here to tell you that you can definitely find out who's got your back by reading our guest co-host and contributors today's book, Who's Got Your Back? Make and Keeping Great Friendships Among Men, David W. Smith. He's the author of that book. He's also, you can connect with him on formingconnections.com. One thing we want to definitely let our men know is that you can form relationships and have relationships that are very meaningful. You don't have to do it all on your own. You can depend on others. You can be in a place where you can receive help, receive intimacy. Men like yourself. We're not talking about sexual intimacy. We're talking about intimacy in the bonds of brotherhood and friendship. And that's one thing that can happen. So make sure you go ahead, find out more about this topic of who's got your back by going to Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And David, once again, thank you for being with me today on the show to talk about this. We definitely have been exposed to some new ideas as it comes to it, because most of the generation, most of the older generation, I should say, the younger generation, they are seeing things a little bit differently. I will admit that. But the older generation, you know, we're still around. Okay. We're still here. So we're learning to be vulnerable and, you know, connect with those friendships. Like with my husband, with things going on with my husband, you know, he didn't have friends at first. I remember saying that he didn't have friends. Well, he had friends. Then we got together. Then, you know, it's me and him. And so when we, after we got married, I said, you know, you can hang out with your friends. I would never stop you from hanging out with your friends. What am I, your mother? You know? And so I said, yeah, I would never do that. But over time, those, and I remember he ended up having another mm-hmm. friendship with someone. And then that got weird for a while.
Yeah.
And then, now the friendships that he has now, it's only like two people or so, but that's people he can go to and talk to, hang out with, do whatever. Because I'm going to have someone I can talk to, because, again, I'm very relationship oriented. So I'm going to drive myself to create relationships with people. Maybe not friendships, but I love to have connections with people, you know. But everybody has that like I do. So I'm glad that we're talking about this, because a lot of men need to know, hey, you can find comfort in friendship with other men. And so I want to read a comment from Chris in Kent City, Michigan. Chris says, as a person who does marriage counseling, men are desperate good friends, but our society wants them to be desperados. When a man finds a good friend, he learns to enjoy his wife more because she can't understand his needs in the same way a man can't understand a woman's needs. Guys need friends to do things without the drama. That is how they relieve stress. Drama for guys is a no-win situation. If they share their emotions too much, they are considered narcissistic. If they don't share them enough, they are seen as cold and indifferent. When offered, all a guy wants, often needs, is a place to relieve stress. And Chris, thank you for joining in the conversation. We also got a comment from Jenny. She says, regarding the movie, I saw Frodo and Sam. So regarding a movie, she said, what bothers me is that people try to make a romantic relationship. It wasn't. And then she said, I've watched my own husband over the years, and his feeling of community, like when he belongs, is deeper, and he's more fulfilled when he's able to have these friendships. I don't understand and relate to him the way his buddies do, nor does he understand and relate to me the way my girlfriends do. We were made to live relationally. And Jenny, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. And then Wolf says, without question, men need best buddies, and for good reason. They hold each other accountable and ask the hard questions. Wolf, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. And then Joy says, I have 7 grandsons, and yes, they need brother-like friendship. That's why they have baseball, basketball, football, and all those other games. Joy, thank you so much for the conversation. One thing I was thinking about, and I think I got all our comments. If I didn't get your comment, please know it's not because I'm ignoring you. We're just running close out of time. One of the things I was thinking about as we were talking about this was the movie Fireproof. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Fireproof, that the Kendrick brothers did. And it has the firefighter and his wife and their
Is that a Christian film, I think?
Yeah,
right?
It's a Christian film.
I believe I have. Yeah.
And it's your book really underpins what happens in that situation, because when Catherine went out with her girlfriends, they're at a restaurant, and what does she do? All her girlfriends get around her, they start talking to her, she starts crying, and Caleb, he's like, I can just see them all together, getting together, have some kind of group hug, and he's all like, making me to be a criminal, and they show that. The differences between how she was gaining comfort, but they also show him with his one friend. He didn't have a lot of friends. He had the one friend he can open up to about his marriage, you know, because even his own friend, when he got mad at his friend, you know, he got mad at him because he said something, but then he came back and was like, you know, sorry about that, you know, but the vulnerability was different for a man than it was different for a woman, but that vulnerability was the same. But what if he didn't have his friend to go to? He would have been dealing with the breakdown of his marriage all on his own. Because he had his dad, but that's his dad. His dad lived far away. But his friend was right there in his vicinity where he could talk to. Not that you have to be in the vicinity, of course. But that's why when we were talking about this show, Fireproof came to mind. You know. So what are your thoughts? As we get ready to close our show today, what are your thoughts about that? You know, correct me where I'm wrong.
Well, there's several things there. I'm not sure where to hone in on. I think early on you're talking about the idea of the waning or the depreciation of intimacy, of friendship, and I think of how it's the same way that people like C.S. Lewis talked about how people lose their faith. Is that it doesn't happen overnight. It becomes because of neglect. And you have to, you know, this has to be valuable to you. You have to pay attention to it. And that's what friendship is about. And the kind of thing that we call friendship is frequently simply an alliance of some sort. You talked about teaming before. I think that we form you know, like putting two horses together into a harness of some sort, and you go about and do, you know, plow the field or something. And that's as close as we often get to anything related to friendship. Let me just share this. I'm not quite sure I'm right on that question, but what I like to do, and as much as I love this kind of communication, and you do too, but it's so much more fun when you get together with people in the same room. And when we have that opportunity, I like to ask guys, you know, questions. I like to, you know, and it's so cool to see some of the answers that you get. Parker, I'll ask things like, you know, what is success to you? And you wouldn't believe some of the interesting responses that you get. It's all over the landscape. Or what does friendship mean to you? And how do you begin a friendship? You know, and that question about of all the people you know, who are the ones that are closest to you and why? You know, and how about this one? Can men and women be friends? You know, what's that like? Is that possible, or is it a social distance and usually an age distance? We're going through this Me Too thing right now, which is very serious stuff about the way women have been abused sexually in our culture. Well, does that mean that men and women can't form close, intimate friendships? And if they do, does that create with your wife or your husband, you know, and all of that? So I love to ask people questions, and I'm learning. Can I just see? I'm curious if you'd agree with this, Parker. I'm beginning to think that in some areas, obviously, there's some essential things in Scripture that, you know, that it's pretty clear cut. But there's an awful lot that's nuanced. There's a lot out there that, you know, it depends on your situation. And your situation might be slightly different than my situation. And so I can't tell you exactly the way it should be. So, you know, I think of some of the earlier sharing that you got earlier, like the guy who just got his wife, and he doesn't have any other friends, and he says that's working for him. Well, maybe in his situation it is, and, you know, I should get along with that, even though I'm thinking it might be better if he had, for his wife's sake and for his sake and for those who are around him, so he's a more constructive, happy person, that he does have some people who are glad to see him and consider him a friend. That should be worthwhile. But I love the idea of meeting with people and not always having the answer, but asking them some questions. And that's and getting their insights, and then the people who are sitting next to them learn from those insights as well. And I try to report that as best I can. And who's got your back? It's sometimes it's better to ask questions than it is to always provide answers, especially when you're not quite sure of everything. So I don't know. But come back at me. I'm not quite sure I answered your question.
Well, no, you did fine, because you did a good job of summing up what's going on here, because I think it is a case-by-case basis. I do think, mm-hmm. generally speaking, women need sisterhood friendships just like men need brotherhood friendships, you know, generally speaking. But everyone comes from a different path of life, and maybe others make a different decision to where, like the one gentleman say, you know, I'm just great with my wife, you know. And some people say, well, I definitely need my friends because, you know, X, Y, Z. I know for myself, sometimes my husband, he's made me very angry over the years, and it's like, oh my gosh, I have to leave. You know, they're going to be calling 911 or something like that, and you go, off or something like that. Looks like we just got a comment really fast. I'm going to read before we get ready to close it down. And this is Bill. Bill, thank you for joining the conversation. Bill says, most people misunderstand the relationship between Sam and Frodo because they want to be more like Frodo than Sam. Tolkien actually envisioned Sam to be the real hero of the story and thought he represented the ideal man. Given that view, our question shouldn't be so much whether men need someone like Sam to help them, but rather whether men need someone like Frodo who needs their help. I think that the answer to the second question is resounding yes. That's what God meant when he said that it is not good for a man to be alone. Men were created with a desire to live for someone else, and without someone else to live for, a man's life will feel worthless. Bill, thank you so much for joining in the conversation. We are of time today for this episode of the show. So David, really quickly, let us know once again, where we can get in contact with you, and once again, tell us the name of your book.
Oh, thank you so much for that, Parker. My book is Who's Got Your Back? And the answer is within these pages. It can come from Amazon or Crosslink. Crosslink's a wonderful traditional publishing house, or you can get it from other publishers, not other publishers, other bookstores as well. Anyway, and my website, I've got a modest website that helps people connect with me. And after this pandemic's over, hopefully I'll get a chance to meet with folks in their world, and we can talk about this important topic. But that's called formingconnections.com. And it's David Smith on Who's Got Your Back. It's just been fun to, and I think important to talk to you about this topic of relationships. Thank you for letting me do that with you.
And David, thank you so much for being with me on the show. Really enjoyed having you. I know there's so much more to this because there's so many offshoots of the topic, as we just touched on it briefly about masculinity, about intimacy and vulnerability. We just touched on it, but there's so much more to be had when you pick up your book, Who's Got Your Back, by David W. Smith. David, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with us on the show. And I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Parker. I look forward to that. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time today very much.
And we were talking today to David Smith. He is the author of the book, Who's Got Your Back? It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Make sure you go ahead and get a copy of that book today. If men, you are looking for valuable, vulnerable friendship that you can have with other men, this book will help you understand why it's necessary and possibly give you very stimulating questions so you can ask those questions and see, what can I do to forge a new friendship with and create a brotherhood for yourself and for those involved in your sphere of influence. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Parker J. Cole Show. You have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day, and God bless.